The reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and can be found on page 739 of the Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Luke, and I have the honour of preaching today. Please keep your Bibles open at John chapter 1. We'll be working from the text. Before I start, I'm just going to pray. So why don't you pray with me? Father God, you provide so abundantly. Your word is deep and rich. Please help us to understand. Please use your word powerfully today to change our lives. Change us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Amen. Today, I want you to join me as we explore this part of God's Word. This passage is rich and deep and wondrous. There are profound truths here that will alter your life forever if you accept them. God reveals that he is all about relationship, and he wants you to know and to receive his Son. At the end of this sermon, I'm going to ask you to receive Jesus as your King, and I'm going to pray a prayer asking God to welcome you as his child. If you have or want to receive Jesus today, I encourage you to pray that prayer with me in your heart to God. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Today, I have two main points, the Word and the world. Point one, the Word focuses on who Jesus is. The Word relates and the Word reveals. The God who gives you life relates to you through Jesus, and he reveals the light of his glory to you through Jesus. Point two, the world focuses on your response to Jesus. Will you either reject or receive God's word? God has done everything for you, so you can either reject or receive his generous invitation. Let's start with point one. The word relates, focusing on verses 1 to 8. It's important to clarify straight away, when we hear about the word, it's referring to Jesus, the Son of God. And this passage tells us some pretty amazing things about him. By naming Jesus Word, John is telling us that Jesus is representative of the Father's will. similar to how our words, if our words are honest and true, are representative of who we are, so Jesus is representative of who God is. What's more, he is God. Let's read together from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, our Creator, God, was in relationship with Jesus. If the Word is God, like it says in verse 1, that means two things. Firstly, Jesus, who is the Word, is divine. He is God. Secondly, God is in relationship within himself. So, by the very nature of who he is, God is a God who relates, because he is in eternal, intimate relationship within himself. What I'm referring to here is known as the Holy Trinity. It's a tricky concept to grasp. One God, but three persons that relate to each other. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's a tricky thing for us to grasp, but I encourage you to grapple with it, because in it is the most wondrous truth. Our God is a God who relates. And this leads us to a defining truth about your life. You and I, we are wonderfully created in God's image. Let's read from verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He created you not to get love and joy for himself, but to share it. He was already in intimate relationship with himself. You are created for relationship with your Creator because your Creator has relationship at the very core of who he is. Let me say that again. You are created for relationship with your Creator because your Creator has relationship at the very core of who he is. Even more than that, your relational needs can only be fully fulfilled through relationship with God. You yearn for closeness. You want good friends you can depend upon. You want a family who love you. But all too often, you are let down. You are left disappointed and hurt and alone. I don't want you to misunderstand. Community is a wonderful blessing that God has given you to enjoy, and we can see that here this morning. Community and friendship are both generous gifts from God. The good gift should point us to the good gift giver. The beautiful gift of human relationships should point our eyes to God. God is in eternal, perfect relationship within himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, and he wonderfully created you in his image for the purpose of relating to him. So, how does God relate to us? He speaks his powerful word to us, revealing his glory to us. So this is point B, the word reveals. In verses 4 to 5, we read, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light of mankind gives life. God shines the glory, the light of his glory, into the darkness of our lives, by sending his son Jesus, the true light, the word. He is a God who speaks. He speaks to you through his word, the Bible. And in so doing, he shows you the light of his glory. The light guides your soul to the presence of its source. Let me say that again. The light guides your soul to the presence of its source. One of the ways God shines the light of his glory in the darkness is through witnesses. Throughout the Old Testament, he sent prophets to declare his glory to Israel, his chosen people, and the nations. These prophets tell us who God is by relaying God's words directly to us. Let's read in John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. John was sent by God to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the true light. God sent John so that through him all might believe. God is concerned with what you believe. He cares what you believe. What does God want you to believe? Let's jump ahead a little bit. In verse 12, which is speaking about Jesus, the Word, this true light, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This all seems like great news. We have a good creator in verse 3 who relates to you, his creation, through the word. Verse 5, you can know him because he wants to reveal himself to you by his word in verses 6 to 8. In verse 9, it says that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. We're going to be in the presence of our creator. So, what's the problem? Why is there separation between us and God? That leads us into my second point, the world. Focusing on verses 9 to 14. This glorious word in whom is life and light of all mankind. Let's read from verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The light shines in the darkness. Why was the light coming into the world in the first place? Because without him, the world, you and me, live in the darkness of sin. This darkness separates us from our Creator, God. He is the one in whom is light and life. When you live in darkness, you can't see the radiant glory of your Creator. You can't fulfill the very purpose of your existence, which is relationship with your Creator. That is why Jesus, the true light, came into the world. He came so that you may have light and life in his name. He came to die, to take away your sins. Jesus came to shine in the darkness, revealing his glory. Let's read in verse 14. The Word, Jesus, the Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What does it mean, then, to reject Jesus? It means you choose to live in darkness. You reject the authority of the light over your life. It means you think you know better than the Word, through whom the whole of creation was brought into being. It means to deny him, to accuse him, to break his body, to kill him in agonizing torture on the cross. So why do people reject the light? Well, we like to live in control of our own lives. If our life were a kingdom, we would put ourselves on the throne. Accepting Jesus means to accept him as king, which means taking yourself off the throne. In our sin, we live to puff ourselves up, to make ourselves comfortable, to have people think we've got everything together. We selfishly try to control our own purpose for creation. We desire riches. We desire status, comfort, intimacy for ourselves. We seek these good creations, but we ignore the good God who created them. So when Jesus, the Word, came into the world, even though God had sent witnesses before him so that we might believe, we rejected him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. How wonderful is that news? All of the things which we crave for so deeply in this world, they're found here. If we're looking for riches, God has offered you eternal life in a city paved with gold. If you're looking for status, God offers you the right to become his child. If you look for comfort, God offers us the comfort of himself, a perfect, loving father. Are we striving for relationship here in this world? God, who has been in perfect relationship with Jesus since before the dawn of creation, he extends his invitation to you. God says, I created you. I love you. I sent my only son, Jesus, whom I love, for you, so that in his name you can be my child and have light and life. I want you to believe in him. So I sent witnesses to tell you about him. I have done everything so that you would believe in my son, Jesus. How do you respond to this indescribably gracious offer? God is drawing a very clear line here. Whether you are in the light or in the darkness is determined by Jesus, and only Jesus. There is no other way to become God's child. We can't escape the darkness of this world by ourselves. If we choose to reject the Word, we're accepting a life of darkness. And darkness leads to death. To recognize Jesus, to receive him, the true light, as ruler over your life, leads you into light and life as God's child. There is no other way to have this life. Everything rests on Jesus. Everything. Will you reject him? Or will you receive him? What does it look like to receive Jesus? To believe in his name? Well, it's completely life-changing. I know a guy whose life totally changed when he was in Year 12. Before he lived to chase the pleasures of this world, he pursued status and fame as a jazz musician. He was seeking comfort and intimacy with girlfriends. He was convinced that a man's highest purpose in life was his own happiness. Through the faithful witnesses of his friends, he learned about Jesus. He became more and more aware that the things he was pursuing could never actually fulfill his deepest desires. One day, he came to believe that when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, what he claimed was true. On that day, he prayed, humbly asking God to forgive his sins and accepting Jesus as his king. He believes in the name of Jesus, the true light. And the whole purpose of his life completely changed. His priorities changed. He gave up his lifelong ambition of becoming a jazz musician because his ambition was now to follow Jesus. He now lives to declare the good news about Jesus to others as God's child. His life has completely changed because of the light of his King. How will you respond to Jesus? Will you receive him? God's generous offer is clear today. I urge you, receive Jesus who brings light and life. Jesus is the only way to receive what you were created for, which is relationship with God. How do we live then if we have received Jesus? A few chapters later in John's Gospel, we hear Jesus talk about this. In John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Jesus has loved you because of his relationship with the Father. Jesus is faithful in keeping his Father's commands. If you receive Jesus, then he tells you to remain in his love by keeping his commands. So, what does Jesus command? In that same chapter, John 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for your friends." Jesus tells you to love each other as Jesus himself has loved you. And he not only tells you how to live, he not only commands you from afar, he came down, he showed us how to live. He laid his life down for you. I want to finish by posing three challenges to you. We're heading into Christmas time and some of us might have a little bit of time off work or uni. I want to challenge you, read the Gospel of John. In it, you'll see the story of Jesus' life, you'll see his death, you'll see his glorious resurrection, and you'll see throughout that Jesus claims to be the Son of God. You will also see the marvelous ways that Jesus has loved you. He has loved us beyond our ability to fully comprehend. And I'm going to quote from a great theologian, J.C. Ryle, who said, "There is something here," speaking about John's gospel, "there is something here which nothing but the light of eternity will ever fully reveal." So I challenge you, read John's gospel. Get to know the one who saved you. Challenge two, respond to Jesus' claim. He claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be the only way to be a child of God. Will you receive him? Will you believe in his name? God wants you to accept his generous offer, and he wants you to become his child. Will you do it? If you want to receive Jesus today and you're unsure about what to do, please come and talk to me after the service. There would be nothing that gives me greater joy. Challenge number three. If you have received Jesus, and there are many of us here today who have, I challenge you, remain in his love. This is not a static, comfortable kind of remaining, like I might remain in a couch for a weekend. This is a command to lay down your life for your friends. I challenge you to love radically. Be generously hospitable. Be faithful in friendship, even when it hurts. Be prepared to love like Jesus, who left the comfort of the Father's throne above. He took on flesh. He bore your sins on the cross. He laid down his perfect life for you. Like I said at the beginning, I'm going to finish now with a prayer. If you want to accept Jesus into your life today, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. And if you already have accepted Jesus into your life, I want you to pray with me too, because these things are true and good things to pray for. The words should appear up on the screen, just there. Let's pray together. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin, and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Saviour and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in Jesus. Amen.